It's time for Hanson McLean Advisors Money Matters, hosted by Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, credentialed financial advisors serving you since 1993.
Welcome to Hanson McLean Advisors. I'm Pat McLean, and Scott Hanson will be here momentarily. If you're a new listener to this show, you probably don't know much about Scott Hanson, but he is a, how would you say it nicely? Scott Hanson exercises constantly and not just a little. His idea of a good time is going out and running 20 miles before the show. Unfortunately, that creates some problems because sometimes he's late getting to the shows because of his incredible exercise regimen, but he is there. He does it nonetheless. So, and quite frankly, it's a Saturday morning, and I get the fact that Scott Hanson wants to go out for a run 20 miles.
What are you talking about? I'm here in the studio. I'm working.
I just was introducing you.
Okay.
So anyway, Scott Hanson is in the house. Thank you for being here. If you're a new listener to Hanson McLean, it is a financial talk show. And when we say new listener, we went on the air in KGO recently in Sacramento. KGO in San Francisco. In Sacramento, we've been on the air for almost 20 years.
And in those 20 years, Pat, I might make mention that I've maybe been late once or twice. So
we've all been late once or twice.
Yeah,
I've been late probably more times than you, and it had nothing to do with exercise.
So that's it.
So if you're a new listener, thank you for listening. And if you'd like to join the show, if you have questions regarding your money, it's 888-2-HANSON. That's 888-2-HANSON, H-A-N. S-O-N.
That's right. And both, you know, myself and my co-host here, we've been financial advisors for 20-some-odd years, and we work with people like yourself throughout the week. We come here on the weekends to be your financial advisors on the air and take calls, answers, questions. And
the questions regarding investments, insurance, which, by the way, isn't our favorite topic, estate planning, taxes, just the things that will make you more comfortable in your retirement years. As a firm, we manage a little bit over $2 billion, and we enjoy doing what we're doing, and we love, actually, my favorite part of the job is actually interacting with all types of people, you know, and it's unfortunate in what we do for a living, the advice is primarily given to those that can afford to pay for it. But on the air, it's free. So if you have questions regarding whether you're just starting out or you've been doing it for a long time, feel free to give us a call.
You know, it's interesting, Pat. There are, if someone's got a couple million dollars to invest, they have a lot of options for professional help, right? One, they could choose to just do everything themselves and do all their own research. But if they'd like to hire some advice, there's lots of different people that would talk to him.
Yes, they would wait in line to talk to him.
Absolutely, with a couple million dollars. You take someone who's got $20,000 or even $200,000, and the amount of people, qualified advisors who would take the time to talk with them, it's diminished.
Yes.
And the problem we see sometimes, it's...
Those people need the advice the most.
They really kind of do.
Well, it depends on how the person came about the $2 million. If it was earned, they typically are pretty good at managing it. If it was inherited or a settlement, they most certainly could use professional advice. Yeah. And so that's what we're here for, is to help you with your financial questions. 888-2-HANSON. That's 242-6766. And if you're calling from the Sacramento area, it's 916-921-1530.
Yeah, anyway. And... we got a great program lined up because we got some good stuff to be talking about. Boy, it was amazing. It's Mother's Day weekend, right? It was amazing to see how the markets had this tremendous. We've seen the last couple of weeks, and you hear the news stories, what's happened with the Dow. You don't hear what's happened with the bond market. Oh. The last couple of weeks, particularly the European bond market, big sell-off. I mean, like, hadn't seen in years.
Decades.
Yeah. I mean, amazing how quick things moved on that end. But at the same time, we saw our U.S. stock market here had this big rally at the end of...
Even 2 days, the market rallies on Friday based on employment numbers. 2 days after, Janet Yellen comes out and says, I think this market's overpriced. Did she not?
Well, you know, when it was back in 1996 when Alan Greenspan called that irrational exuberance.
Mm-hmm.
It was 4 years later before the market hit any peaks. You know, another thing about when he made that statement, that was the first time he had that he didn't coin that phrase. It was one of his speechwriters had put it in his speech. And he's reading to he relied upon his staff a great deal. And he's reading the speech to Congress. And that's where the irrational exuberance came out, which he got this credit for. They figure it was one of his staff people to actually put that in there. First time he'd
pretty good word. It really is. And he's, you put exuberance and irrational. It's very rarely I've seen rational exuberance.
Well, you have a new kid. That's rational exuberance.
Excitement. Do you use the word exuberance on a regular basis?
I don't know if I've ever used the word exuberance.
You're like, oh, I got this Christmas gift. I was so exuberant.
That's how I felt coming into that. Oh, honey, I got to go to do the show today.
If I actually said the word exuberant in conversation with my friends, they'd all make fun of me.
All right. Why don't we go to the calls here? Let's talk to William. William in Pennsylvania. William, welcome to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Hey, guys. Quick question on an expected return. It's reasonable to use the plan on a 65-35 portfolio, given where bond rates are.
Yeah, that's a good question. And over what time frame?
Probably 13 years or so.
How old are you today, William?
52.
Okay. So if you look back historically, right? If you went back the last 50 years and you looked at a portfolio like you've got, you might say, oh, I could probably use a 9 or even a 10% rate of return assumption. But you're obviously wise, William. You look at the interest rates today and you're thinking, my fixed income portion of the portfolio is earning a couple percent. What do my equities need to earn in order for me to have a decent return? What might that be going forward? And I think for prudent investors today, really a 6 to 8% range is probably an 8% might even be challenging over the next 5 years. Over the next 25 years, we believe interest rates will probably come back up again, and we can all have an opportunity as investors to earn more on our safer money. But when you're in the environment today,
where the 10-year treasury is about 2%, a little bit over 2%. And how old did you say you were, William?
52.
Okay. So going forward, if you looked at 10 years, and remember, you've got to look at it net of fees and cost, because you could mix a portfolio of indexes together, a theoretical portfolio of indexes together, but the indexes actually have no trading cost associated with them and no fees in custody. They're just numbers on a page. So I would look at, I agree with Scott, 6 to 8, and I'd be most comfortable using the lower of the two, 6, as a net of fees.
Yeah, I think I can make it work if I just pick 5. So
perfect.
Oh, good.
Perfect.
And here's the thing. Here's how we always like to be conservative in the planning. It's always okay if you get down to retirement and have too much money, right? But if you are really aggressive in your planning and you get to retirement, it's not so good. And I actually remember working with a couple years ago, and early in the 2000s, they retired young, and they wanted to use a very aggressive return assumption to enjoy an early retirement. And I remember the conversation I had. I said, look, if you do this, and if things don't work out like you've planned, you're going to find yourself at a real retirement age with not as much assets. And they said, well, this is the chance we want to take. And so they actually retired early and used a real aggressive rate of return assumption, and it has not worked out well for them.
Yeah, and that's why you want to be a little bit more conservative in the return assumption. So,
okay.
Appreciate the call.
Yeah, thanks, William. I mean,
So I was having this conversation with my brother-in-law. I believe in actively managed portfolios. I believe in index portfolios. But the whole idea that, I read this, 70% of all mutual funds underperform their index. Index funds underperform their index.
Well, of course.
They have to. Because there's a cost associated.
A little bit of cost. They underperform it ever so slightly. The good ones ever so slightly.
But when you read this index, most funds underperform their index funds.
100% of index funds underperform their index.
Correct. Their averages are worse than everyone else's.
Here's how twisted we are. We find humor in internet. This is interesting to us. Wow. Think about that.
Actually, no wonder my brother-in-law said, "Can you give me another beer?" I was telling him that.
This wasn't a breakfast meeting, was it?
No. I mean, we're not that Irish.
Nice. But, you know, when you look at and there's a lot of discussion right now between actively managed and passively managed. And we use a lot of index funds, by the way.
And we like them. But I think there's a place for actively managed. The world is not black and white.
But by its very nature, half of funds are going to underperform and half will overperform. Because the market would be the middle of them all, right? That would be the market. So we're taking a quick break here. If you'd like to join us, we still have a couple lines open. We'd love to take your call. To join Hanson McLean's Money Matters, it's 888-2-HANSON. Again, 888-2-HANSON. Hanson's H-A-N-S-O-N. Would love to take your call. Stick around here for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSON or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Wait, keep playing that, Mike.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's.
What's the name of that
Money
the band?
Hosier, something. Hosier. All right, that's enough of that. Thanks.
Actually, so we had a company picnic.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Thank you, Michael. Who's there? We had a company picnic yesterday.
In the afternoon, Pat and I both flipped burgers and hot dogs.
We had most everyone. People. We have about, there's probably 70 people.
I think almost everyone was there.
Yeah.
We're going to see some sore arms and stuff from throwing football, playing volleyball.
The middle-aged guys that got out there to play volleyball.
Against gals, the middle.
Against the interns. Against these new college grads. So we had some new college grads. We had some interns that are still in college. And then they're playing these 50-year-old, middle-aged, hyper-competitive guys. And it was fun to watch, but I realized how very old I am when they had a game called Name That Tune.
Yeah, I participated.
I didn't know any of the songs.
Really? And I actually did pretty well in it.
You did actually pretty well.
But I listened a little bit of everything.
But it
except the music you like. I don't like Jimmy Buffett stuff.
Excuse me.
I was in Pat's car one time, and we could get it. I was in Pat's car one time. This is back when the CD changers were the hot. You had like a CD changer that was 10 CDs. Every CD was Jimmy Buffett. Every CD. 10 CDs and a CD changer. All Jimmy Buffett. And I bet if I looked at your iPhone today, I bet it's more Jimmy Buffett than anything.
There's quite a bit of Jimmy Buffett.
I couldn't send you an email because it was full because of so many Jimmy Buffett songs.
And Steely Dan.
And Steely Dan, those two.
I'm part of the singer-songwriter.
So if you haven't seen what Pat looks like, I think you're getting a pretty good idea just off that.
I'm not quite a parrot head.
888-2-HANSON to join the program, 888-2-HANSON. Let's talk to Claudia. Claudia, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
We have variable annuities. We have three. And we were just learning about the fixed index alliance. Wanted to know your opinion about that.
Okay, well, here's the thing. I have just some concern what you've said so far gives us a little bit of pause. And because you said you already own three annuities and now you're thinking about getting a fourth annuity.
So let's ask why you own the three annuities. How did they come to you? What was the purpose of them?
Retirement, of course.
And do you have, are they inside of an IRA or outside of an IRA?
Inside.
They're outside?
Inside.
Okay.
And are you a teacher?
No. I'm a dental hygienist.
And do you have any money in your retirement that's not inside annuities?
Yes.
What percentage of your overall retirement savings ballpark do you think is inside annuities?
Oh, I have absolutely no idea. My husband's not here to answer. So,
did you purchase these annuities from a bank?
No. From our financial planner, I guess that from a, is it a mutual funds? I'm not sure.
Yeah, insider mutual funds.
Yes.
So here's what our fear is. You're collecting products. And really what you should be focused on is
an overall plan.
Is the overall plan and the process.
By its nature, I hate annuities. I hate insurance. I hate every year I pay my insurance premiums annually because I don't like paying them. And when they come, I always get frustrated. I think my house is not burned down and living in the area 25 years is not burned down, but I pay my insurance every year. And so annuities have some features of insurance. And when they're used correctly, they can make sense for a portion of one's portfolio. But, I mean, as an example, our firm, we manage $2 billion. About 10% we have allocated towards annuities. So 10 out of 90%.
And we use them very sparingly.
Some people they make sense for, some people they make
most
no sense.
Most they don't.
Yes. If you were my sister, Claudia, I'd say, why don't you talk to a good independent financial advisor, someone who doesn't sell annuities, someone who's a fee base, and have them look at your overall portfolio and see what gaps there may be. Because we don't think, if you already own three annuities, we don't think you're lacking for the insurance features that annuities could or could not provide.
And I don't believe that an indexed annuity would probably be the answer.
Okay. So it isn't just annuities. We have REITs. We have many in our portfolio. Oh, we have many things.
Now you're scaring the daylights out of me.
Oh.
Because you just mentioned REITs, which are non-traded.
Odds are these are non-traded REITs you own, my guess.
Right.
So what you have now described to us is a portfolio that is filled with commission-rich products.
Right. Probably. A lot of it's fees.
Yeah. And that scares. So the question is, are the fees appropriate? And first of all, I don't think you should own a non-traded REIT. I don't think most of America should own a non-traded REIT. Because you could buy traded REITs that are a lot less expensive and don't have the fees associated with them, and they're liquid. I think that you need to go shop for a different investment advisor.
I do too.
I think
you don't have an investment advisor. You have a commission broker selling your product.
Yeah.
And he's finding
he's
finding some another reason to sell you another product. And we don't think you need another product.
Yeah. I think that.
Well, no, it's not the same financial. We went to a class to listen to it, so that's why.
It does. The problem is right now you don't have anyone you can trust with your financial future, so you're out there looking at products. When I was little, my grandfather always used to say, "Is if all you have is a hammer, everything looks like a nail," right? And the point being, which is, you're meeting with people that have products in mind before they meet with you. If you went to a doctor and you walked in the door and the doctor looked at you and said, I think that we're going to prescribe XYZ, without asking any questions or trying to understand what was wrong with you, it would be inappropriate. So it sounds like you're great savers. It sounds like you've got everything going for you in terms of you have the ability.
And you're seeking out advice.
And you want advice. You just need someone now that is a fee-based financial planner. That it takes a little bit every year based on the
Somebody
size of your account.
Somebody does not sell product.
That doesn't sell products, that is disinterested in who they represent and has you in mind that you're going to sit down with a regular basis and they're going to say, are we hitting our goals? Can we do this? Does this make sense?
What
you don't have that.
What does that mean?
So okay. What happens? Let's talk about it,
yeah.
Scott.
So here's, right now, your relationships with financial, they call themselves financial planners or financial advisors, have really been with someone who sells you a product. They find a need, and these may be appropriate products sometimes, okay? So, but what happens when they recommend something to you, Claudia, and you go forward with that, they receive a commission up front. Maybe 6%, maybe 6%, maybe 7%, maybe more than that. Furthermore, there might be additional incentives. If they sell enough of this one annuity, they might be able to go on a trip to Spain or something, right? That's what these, I'm not kidding, that's how these products are structured.
Sure.
A fee-based advisor is somebody who's what they're known as a registered investment advisor. They work on a fee basis. When you go and meet with that person, they don't sell product. They don't receive commissions off product.
The only one they're taking compensation from is you, and it's 100% disclosed. So it's the equivalent. Think about it.
And there's a fee. There is still. So you might pay someone 1-1.5% a year on a fee basis, somewhere in there, to look at your portfolio, manage the portfolio, make changes when necessary. The difference here, they would need to have you on as a client for 6, 7, 8 years to have the same kind of revenue. But even more important, their interests are going to be economically aligned with yours. They will have a vested interest in seeing your account go up in value.
And not in just selling you product.
Also a vested interest to make sure that the investments they choose are not excessive in fees.
That's the difference. Claudia, what you've been doing, think about it, is a contractor, if you had a contractor to your house and the contractor said, hey, I'm going to do this and this and this, and then handed you a bill before they started working, would you pay that bill?
Of course not.
That's what you've been doing.
Okay.
Because people come in with product and they say it's going to do this and this and this and this, and then they get paid on it, and then they leave. And when do they come back again? When they think they could sell you another product.
So I guess that's what happened at my class. They were talking about fixed index alliance. It can go up to 18%.
Oh!
Literally 3 to 6.
Yeah, that's garbage. It's garbage.
Interest rate.
It's garbage. It's garbage.
Yeah. But again, they talked about a product. If you're looking for a good doctor, medical doctor to help you over the next decade, and you went to one and all they were talking about is this phenomenal drug that's going to deal with this one issue, and that's all they talked about, you'd think, well, I have a feeling if I went with that doctor, all he's going to do is give me that drug. That's what you got here. May or may not be even the right thing for you.
We don't know.
And all they're going to tell you is the good parts. They're not going to tell you the bad parts because they're going to get paid a commission once you invest. And then they're off finding the next person to sell to.
And Claudia, look, we're not completely disinterested because we want clients.
Absolutely.
We're an investment advisory firm.
Uh-huh.
But we want more than a client. We want someone that we're going to have a long-term relationship that's going to pay us a little bit every year based upon the size of the account, as does every other fee-based investment advisor in the U.S.
Uh-huh.
Right? That's the difference. And you should be able to fire your investment advisor at any time.
And take your money with you. You don't have that ability right now. Your money's locked up.
You've got surrender charges. It's locked up. That advisor can do whatever they want, and you have no way of getting out of the product.
Mm-hmm.
So, unfortunately, you have seen the dark side of the investment advisory industry.
Yes, apparently.
Yeah, no, and
we're not trying to freak you out too bad, Claudia. We're coming down a little hard on you. As Pat said, you've obviously done a great job saving.
You've got all the right attributes. You just have run into, you haven't found the right person to work with yet. But all the attributes are there. Holy smokes.
So,
I mean, you're a minority of the U.S.
We are glad you called. Hope this is somewhat helpful to you.
Yes, thank you so much.
All right, enjoy the rest of your weekend and happy Mother's Day and all that other
stuff. I felt bad. And we didn't mean to beat up on Claudia, but.
Well, some of our industry periodicals this week, there was some talk on these equity index annuities and fixed annuities being some changes where they're going to try to, the industry is trying to stop them from taking all these trips and all the extra, and there might be some really good
Scott,
financial advisors.
I saw the ads in our industry. What was that one company called? Your ship has come in?
Not the clients, for crying out loud.
It's your ship.
When you hear us railing against annuities and railing against non-traded REITs, sometimes the products are just downright bad themselves, and they're expensive, and we don't like them. But it's the industry in which those things are sold and marketed. And so when we talk to, we meet people like Claudia, and sometimes we meet them at retirement time, they're trying to figure out how to get income, and suddenly their REIT reprices, and it goes from, they thought they had $80,000 in there, they find out it's only $46,000.
Overnight.
We see this. This is the stuff that we see every week.
And obviously, it bothers us a little.
We're getting a little, I know.
So we should actually, let's go to something more chipper like the news.
That's always. Because there's not nothing but good news all the time.
I mean, I use the word chipper because at some point in time, I will go to London.
London? Is that where they use the word chipper?
Chipper? Yes, the man is very chipper.
Is that a British term?
I believe. My mother-in-law was English. You know what? Because I'm Irish, I wanted to make the exploitation a little bit
goodness.
More personal.
I can only imagine. My stepmother was British. Every time there was a kid, there'd be some bombing. Bloody Irish! Bloody Irish! That's what I grew up, and then I got a business partner who's Irish. Think of the turmoil in my own head. We're going to take a quick break. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters. If you'd like to join the program, 888-2-HANSON. Again, 888-2-HANSON. Stick around for more Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country with a team of advisors in offices in Sacramento, Roseville, and Folsom. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is first to listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at HansonMcLean.com. That's HansonMcLean.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean. That's more music, my style.
Oh, for crying
style.
Out loud. Let's start talking about some music.
Old man music.
Oh, gosh. Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Mother's Day weekend.
We can talk
welcome
about the music.
Welcome to the KGO listeners. This is our second week on KGO, and it's pretty exciting.
I guess they could turn to a music station to talk about music, though.
This is a financial program. They'd listen so they can learn something about...
That's the hope.
That, I mean, that's quite frankly our hope. So, yeah, our hope is that by people listening to this program, they will be making wiser choices with their dollars.
Yeah,
with their finances.
Make better decisions.
Yes,
and actually, call the show if you have any questions.
And hopefully, kind of enjoy the hour because we try not to.
It is financial. It is not the most interesting topic in the world. I'm just going to come right out and say that.
You know, it's fun. So I had just the other day. I tried to get my wife to sit down and look at. Some our finance stuff. My wife has a degree in finance. I met her in a finance class. Back then, there was the class is about 7% women, which is about the same today. I was speaking at a college a couple weeks ago. 7% women, fine, no women. Anyway, I could barely get my wife's interest in her own personal finances.
Really? She
tries.
She's just not interested.
She's just not. I don't know if it's because she trusts her husband or. I think she's just really not that. Well, I think part of she doesn't worry about it, I guess. It's kind of a compliment to me. But I think, but my point is, I think most people, it's kind of the same sort of.
It's a topic they'd rather not talk about.
Yeah. But we've all made mistakes with our finances. There's things we're proud of, things we're ashamed of, and all those other sort of things.
But if you have a question regarding your finances, 888. 2-HANSON, H-A-N-S-O-N.
That's right. 888-2-HANSON. Let's talk to Joe. Joe, you're with Hanson McLean.
Oh, hi.
Hi, Joe.
Okay. I'm 59 years old, and I'm retired. I want to sell my home and pay off some debt, but then I want to buy a new home, a different home.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering that at my age, would it be better just to have my... this original home paid off instead of going and getting into debt again.
Oh, let's talk about it. What's the value of your home today?
$200,000.
And what do you owe on it?
I owe $22,000.
And who else do you owe money to? Because you talked about this other debt.
I owe a credit card, and then there's a car payment. That all adds up to about $60,000.
Okay.
And that also, yeah, that includes my mortgage.
Oh, so $60,000 including the mortgage? Okay.
Why do you want to move?
I'm not originally from this area, and I was just wanted to get closer to family.
Where's that? So where do you live today?
I live in the Modesto area, and...
And where do you want to move to?
Closer to Sacramento.
Okay, so it's a lateral move.
So it's not like you're moving from Modesto to downtown San Francisco.
Or Little Rock, Arkansas.
No.
Or Little Rock, Arkansas. If you're going to somewhere even less expensive than Modesto.
And how much income do you have on a monthly basis right now?
Okay, my pension, I gross $44.89 and I net $36.71. I do have a part-time job that averages about $10,000 a year.
And will you be eligible for Social Security?
No, I won't. In lieu of that, I opted out of Social Security,
okay.
And I have a 457,
uh-huh.
And I have $210,000 in that.
And does your wife work?
I'm single.
Okay,
not
married. This is better than...
And I asked that because you use the word we.
Oh, I didn't realize.
Okay,
that's all right. So if your pension's $4,500 a month, you got a couple hundred thousand in retirement savings, and you've got quite a bit of equity in your house.
How much would a house
in Sacramento? You're in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
really, Joe.
You're actually fine. How much would the house in Sacramento cost you?
Oh, gee, probably. I'm looking to downsize.
Okay. How much do you think it would cost you?
Probably $200,000 or less.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Do it.
Yep.
Do it.
Go
get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage.
Yep.
So get a 30-year. We're big fans of people having their mortgage paid off,
but
in retirement.
And you've got a pension. These are in a different situation than others.
Yeah, you're fine. So what you want to do is go ahead, buy a house in the Sacramento area. It's about the same price. Get a 30-year fixed rate mortgage. You'll get your payments, including taxes and interest and principal, down to less than $500 a month.
Your best bet is to sell your house first. Look, you're single. You've got some options. If you're willing to do this, from a financial standpoint, if you sold your house, even if you, and then say once you close escrow on your house, then go find the new house, you're going to be in a much better position.
You're going to actually give yourself a lot more choices, and
because it's pretty competitive on the kind of the more moderate priced homes, very competitive, and particularly at $200,000, it's very competitive. And if you can come in without a contingency, you're going to be better off because not many people are going to want to take a contingency.
Yeah, and you'll get your
okay.
overall cost, including taxes and insurance, down to around $500 a month. You're absolutely, there's no reason in the world you wouldn't do this. You could start looking for a house today.
Yeah, I'd do it sooner than later because interest rates are so low right now. And I think,
okay. Yeah. Thank you.
All right, Joe. And it's making sense for you because you got a good sized pension.
Oh, it's huge. And you don't have to actually touch your 457 plan to do
any
of this.
It's going to work out for you. And you're
Correct.
Closer to family.
Yeah.
Quite frankly, you know, Joe, we appreciate the call. I think being close to family.
Some family.
Okay. But, I mean, life's really about relationships, right? So we've been helping people in the retirement process for 25
Almost.
Years, right? Roughly. And it seems that for most people, life is about relationships, whether it's with their kids or grandkids or close friends. We've seen people been in the same community for years. They have this kind of an ideal place they think they're going to want to retire to, right? Up in the Sierras or up somewhere.
And then they retire there.
They retire there.
And they lose their social circle and they move back.
Yeah, they move. I was talking to a client a couple of weeks ago. They moved to Texas. They're moving back.
Yeah.
Especially, I ran into some clients in our office Friday morning. They're back in town. They've been living in a motorhome for a number of years. Sold their primary residence. They sold their primary residence, took a chunk of cash, set it aside in an account, knowing they had risk. They actually, knowing there was risk of inflation on home prices, but kept it in a relatively safe place so they can earmark the money for another future home. And so we're just going to enjoy life. But they're spending a lot of their time in Northern California because they're one of their kids moved back, and now there's a couple grandkids in their life, and that's where they're finally spending a lot of time. And we just see this a lot during retirement.
And you got to think about that when you go into retirement. One of the first questions we ask is, where do your children live? And where do your grandchildren live?
Right. So, 888-2-HANSEN. We still have, three lines open, still time to take
calls.
Although
Modesto and Sacramento are pretty close together.
That might even be the perfect distance from family. Come to think about it. We just gave Joe the wrong advice. Joe, hope you're still listening. Do not move. You'll end up hating your relatives.
Remember, familiarity breeds contempt.
That's funny. You know. So tomorrow's Mother's Day.
Okay.
My mother moved to Northern California a couple years ago.
Very close to you.
Yes, and it's good. I mean, I love my mother. I love my mother. Obviously, she's my mother. But it's just.
Are you sure you want to say
no,
this?
No, I don't. Let's take the next call.
I'm looking at you, thinking.
All of a sudden, I'm like, "This isn't just this isn't just in a conference room with a couple people, my buddies."
Where's the upside in this?
I'm very appreciative of my mother. My mother's one. She's just turned 76, seven. Mom.
She'll be glad that everyone now knows.
Oh, she never listens to the show. Doesn't matter. But anyway, so they moved outside of Placerville. They bought this huge ranch, 80 acres.
That's a big ranch.
Yeah, I know, and they work it every day. They all love it. They're all working the ranch, and.
In their 70s.
We were just talking about before, they had moved out way in the middle of the boonies when they first retired. And she said, we thought we were going to enjoy it. They actually had a second place that they went to on the vacations or whatever.
Further away.
No, trying to get away from me. Oh my gosh, Scott wants to have dinner again. But they were also one that were out in the kind of the boonies, and they lived there for a while. She said, I just realized it's too remote.
So the 80-acre ranch is not in the middle of the boonies.
Not compared to outside of Placerville, 80 acres. For them, it's not in the moonies.
It's in the town.
It's right in town. It's just traffic's horrendous. The noise from the neighbors just as.
Yeah.
I don't know why I started talking about it. Well, it's Mother's Day, and I started thinking about my mother and these issues that
surround family.
Not only have we dealt with clients over the years, but we've just seen in our own personal family situations as well. So
it is Mother's Day.
Mother's Day.
Actually, my wife did point out to me that I should have a talk with my children about doing something for Mother's Day.
Yes, you should. I've already talked to my kids. They're still going to mess it up. Anyway, we got to take a quick break. 888-2-HANSEN to join Hanson McLean's Money Matters. Again, that's 1-888-2-HANSON. You're listening to Hanson McLean's Money Matters.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean have been airing Hanson McLean's Money Matters for nearly 20 years. The straightforward, common sense advice you hear each weekend is the same sort of advice you'll receive when you work with their advisory firm, Hanson McLean. Hanson McLean Advisors is a distinctive investment advisory firm in that it specializes with people preparing for and transitioning into retirement. The current economic environment has made it more difficult for many people to become retirement ready. Furthermore, with people living healthier, longer lives today, many folks view retirement much differently than their parents did. They want to stay active and engaged, and some don't want to ever fully retire. Hanson McLean understands that every individual is unique, and that is why they tailor their financial advice to the specific needs of each client they serve. Hanson McLean's credentialed advisors take the time to listen to their clients before they make any recommendations. And Hanson McLean's independent fiduciary model can give you confidence knowing your retirement dollars are invested properly for you. To get your retirement on track, contact them today by calling 1-888-2-HANSEN or visiting them at moneymatters.com. That's moneymatters.com.
Welcome back to Hanson McLean's Money Matters. I'm Scott Hanson.
Pat McLean.
Glad you are with us on this. By the way, if you're newer to us in the Bay Area, or you've been in Northern California a long time, listen to us, and you haven't been to moneymatters.com in a while, go to moneymatters.com. We've got some great stuff there for
you. It's informational.
You can get podcasts of this program delivered to you each week. You can get
content. You can
stuff writing about kinds of stuff. And, you know,
it's got filled with financial content that is pretty much directed to you.
Me?
Not you. You, the listener.
Not you.
You're looking at me.
You're like, it's directed at me. I'm going to go. I haven't been there for a while.
It's a radio show. Who am I supposed to look at when we talk?
Good
it's
point.
Not like there's a camera to stare into.
MoneyMatters.com again. And it's, again, 888-2-HANSEN to join the program. Let's talk with Doug. Doug, you're with Hanson McLean.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call.
You bet, Doug.
You guys were talking about the English and the Irish. The Englishmen are kind of screwed. You know what they call a golf cart? A trolley.
Oh, is that right? A trolley.
I had to laugh. A trolley.
See?
Anyway.
Yes, I grew up with those. So my stepmother, I was talking about my mother. Remember, I had two moms growing up, I guess. Not like that. I mean, I've had.
Why did you have to go there?
I don't know.
I think everyone gets the point.
And my stepmom was British.
Not that there's anything wrong with
my
that.
My stepmother was British, and
okay,
I heard
Doug,
all this kind of stuff.
What is your question for us, Doug?
Oh, well, my RMD. I started drawing. My wife and I both started drawing on RMD. And
you acquired minimum distributions from your retirement accounts?
Yes, yes. And it dumped about 19, close to 20,000 into mine and about 7 out of hers.
How old are you?
And it bumped me into the next higher tax bracket, and I got hammered.
Doug, how old are you?
Well, I'm 71.
Okay.
And I don't know. I just thought I'd call and see if they're...
Yeah, so here's I want to keep in mind a couple things.
Yeah.
So one, you said it bumped you in the higher tax bracket. What happens, the way the tax brackets work, we have a progressive tax system. The higher your income, the higher your tax rate's going to be, right?
Yeah,
which you just experienced.
Yeah, sure.
But it's only those dollars above that next rate that get taxed at that higher limit. So it doesn't impact the other income you already have coming in. It's just those dollars coming out of your retirement accounts. The challenge, unfortunately, is it's going to get a little worse every year, assuming your money continues to grow.
Yeah.
It may cause some of your Social Security
you're probably
to be taxed
already, probably already taxed, I'm guessing, if you bumped
no,
up.
No, it's taxed.
Yeah, you're already 85% taxed.
My adjusted, I'm looking at my tax deal here, what I was taxed on was $90,920.
That was your adjusted gross income or your taxable income?
Taxable income. My adjusted gross income was
$113,000. Yeah, boy.
And I don't have any debt.
Is there any income that's coming from sources such as interest? I mean, maybe some tax exempt, some municipal bond income?
No, I've got it. My taxable income, my other investments outside my IRAs are spread across, diversified, but no tax free stuff.
So, what you might want to do, it might make some sense to look at your other. So, how much taxable dividends and interest did you have last year that you had to report on your of the 100 and some odd, how much came from taxable dividends and interest?
Let's see. Capital gains, I don't know, 20. Well, here's capital gains, $22,000.
Okay.
And
how much?
Other gains. Oh.
How much dividend and interest came from that? So let's go. Yeah, let's go with the process. We're going to share the concept.
You know, what I ought to do? What I was thinking about just I know your phone now. I come in and talk to you.
Well, we appreciate that, but that's not the process. That can be the process, but that's not why we're here. We're here to try to help people. So Scott, why don't you walk him through the process? But he sounds like he's actually doing most of it right.
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing you can do about the required minimum distribution. Well, somebody say that.
No. My other stuff I could do.
You could give some money directly to a nonprofit from the retirement account to reduce your required minimum distributions. That's something you could do if you were so inclined to do.
So if you're giving money to charities now, that would be
maybe a better way, but it's not going to make, in your situation, it's not going to really have much impact whether you take money out and then give it or. Sometimes it does, but in this situation, it's not going to have that much impact. So the only thing to look at is if we know the required minimum distribution is going to be what it is, and it's going to get worse every year, then it's looking at what other taxable income comes into the house, and can we do anything to reduce the taxation on that?
That's what I was thinking.
That's where it looks like your portfolio there you might be looking at some things. Is there ways to better manage that so it's more tax efficient, so it doesn't kick off as much taxable gains and interest? Now, there are sometimes when you don't want the taxes to necessarily drive the portfolio. So there are times when it makes sense to pay a capital gain. I mean, we should be happy with capital gains. It means we gained on something.
And
right?
So what that means is sometimes you actually redo your portfolios where you put most of the bond inside of the IRA and you put the things that has capital appreciation outside IRA so that you actually have tax deferred growth in terms of.
Yeah, I mean, like, for example, if you have a big position of an index, S&P 500 index fund in your retirement account, would say maybe that should be on the outside where it's not going to spend off much in capital gains.
Well,
reposition.
My IRA was in a Wellington fund, which you know what that is.
Yeah, and depending on how your other stuff is managed,
it might make sense that you kind of split that up because a Wellington, I can't speak to individual funds, but it's a balanced fund which has both stock and bond in it.
Mm-hmm.
So you might be better off putting.
Breaking that up.
Your index funds are highly tax-efficient mutual funds outside of the IRA and most of the bonds inside the IRA without actually changing your stock-to-bond
ratio at all.
Okay.
And that's where you could actually do some things to make the portfolio minimize your tax. And remember, capital gains get wiped away at the first death. They get a full step-up in basis.
Yeah,
that's right. Retirement accounts do not.
And retirement accounts do
always
not.
Always going to be taxed.
So there's a way that you could fine-tune it to make it more efficient, but unfortunately there's nothing you can do with the RMDs other than to gift it to some charities.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right, Doug.
All right, thank you.
Hey, have
appreciate
a good weekend. Okay. Glad you called.
Okay.
And,
those are good problems to have. There isn't a lot of America that's listening to that call saying, hey, I feel bad for Doug and his $113,000 in income.
That's
70.
That poor guy.
I don't know how he does it.
Yes.
He needs to pay more of his fair share.
That's right. Let's talk to Carl. Carl, you're with Hanson McLean.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Hi, Carl.
Hey, I just spoke to somebody who was selling annuity products the other day, and I was just kind of curious, like, if I put, like, $100,000 into an annuity, and let's say, like, 10 years later when all the surrender charges and all those other things don't matter anymore, and then I withdraw the $100,000, is the $100,000 all of a sudden taxable again under a 1099-R, or is there some way you report it to the IRS and say, no, that's my original principle?
Are you buying it inside of an IRA or outside of an IRA?
Outside of an IRA.
Right. Okay. So, first of all, we're not huge fans of annuities. If you listened to the program earlier, if you didn't, go grab a podcast if not. But so here's how they work. Let's say you put in $100,000 today, and let's say it's worth $150,000 down the road, and you say, I want to withdraw some money. The way annuity contracts are taxed, the last dollars that went into them, which would be the interest, must come out first. So, If you put in $100,000, it grows to $150,000. You pull out $50,000. That $50,000 is going to be taxed to you as ordinary income, not capital gain. Ordinary income. Now, if you withdrew $60,000, the first $50,000 would be your interest. Then $10,000 would be return of your principal, which would be tax free. Now, there's some ways around that is if you chose to annuitize this
contract,
which
means turn it into a series of payment over time. Then each one of those payments is a distribution of principal and interest or gain, which only the gain would be taxed at ordinary income. But beyond all that, remember, the annuity is just a tool. So what are you trying to achieve?
Well, this is the way, I mean, maybe I didn't ask the right questions or whatever, but the way how he presented it, it was a way to have your money basically get the gains of the index, except they cap it at a certain amount, but no way would you lose your principal.
Uh-huh. And how does the insurance...
You said like it's like a 0% interest gain minimum guaranteed or something like that. So and I thought that was a good way of insuring the money. You're kind of...
You're going to get very moderate.
On the top end, but...
So here's a couple things that... you know, these things don't happen in a black box. Insurance companies are funny. By everything they do, they have figured out a way to make money on them.
They are a business.
That's their job. So I'll give you what they actually do behind the scenes, right? There's a couple things that are normally left off. One is that you don't participate in any dividends in the market.
Right.
Right? Which, in this marketplace, as a percentage, could be substantial. Yes. The second thing is they cap your participation level, both as a percentage and an overall participation level of the market. So they might say you get 40%, 50% of the upside, not to exceed 6 or 7 or 8%, correct?
Well, they said the participation rate was 100%.
All right. Well, anyway, the fact is there's many ways they can slice this. But to Pat's point, you could actually build this yourself if you were so inclined. Some of your own, use some options, have some own protection. Yeah, look, if you were my brother, I'd say, look, I'd stay away from the annuities. I don't like the way they're taxed. It's taxed as ordinary income. If you invest in the S&P 500 fund for some portion of, let's say you have $100,000, you take some portion and invest it in the market, you're going to have favorable capital gains treatment. It's much better than ordinary income from an annuity.
And if your timeline is long enough, what's it matter? Take 50% and buy the market, and 50% put it in bonds.
Somewhere safe.
And you're gonna get to the same place without all the expenses and lack of liquidity.
That's right.
I just wouldn't buy it. I wouldn't.
And
there
are
so many different ways to go about
and
this.
And over the long term, the market always tends to go back up. It really does, right? I mean, if you think about it, we had the financial crisis not that long ago. Markets hit a new. Well, obviously, we're going to have a downturn again. But if your timeline's long enough, why would you pay that insurance when it's not necessary? This music means that we are out of time. Both myself and Pat, we are here every week. This is Hanson McLean's Money Matters, broadcasting both in the Sacramento region on KFBK and on KGO in the Bay Area. Enjoy the Mother's Day weekend. We'll be back here at this time next weekend.
This program has been brought to you by Hanson McLean Advisors. Any ideas presented during this program are not intended to provide specific financial advice, and you should consult your own financial advisor or conduct your own due diligence.
Scott Hanson and Pat McLean, hosts of Hanson McLean's Money Matters, started their investment advisory firm, Hanson McLean Advisors, some 20 years ago, with the idea of providing honest, transparent financial advice. From humble beginning with a small staff, today, Hanson McLean is one of the largest independent advisory firms in the country, with a team of advisors in Northern California. The same type of straightforward financial advice that is provided during the show is what the clients of Hanson McLean Advisors receive on a regular basis. The approach of Hanson McLean is to first listen to you and then come up with a plan to provide a greater chance of success in achieving your financial goals. Hanson McLean Advisors is not simply a store that sells one type of product. No, Hanson McLean Advisors is an independent advisory firm that pick from a wide variety of financial products to best suit your needs. So if you have yet to see how the commission-free programs of Hanson McLean Advisors can benefit you, contact them today at 1-888-2-HANSON or visit them at hansonmclean.com. That's hansonmclean.com.